Good morning, Congressman Rodney Davis.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm great, buddy. How you doing?
I'm all right. 33 days away from the primaries. You set? You ready to go?
I am. First time I haven't had a primary challenge. I'm excited.
Oh, yeah. You can kind of sit back and relax, huh?
Never relax in this business, just like yours.
No. Oh, yeah. No, I relax every day. Every day with my little friend Jack. All right. So, you know, I got all excited about the president's State of the Union address, because we heard the infrastructure number was going to be $1 trillion, and then he comes out with $1.5 trillion in the state. And I thought, well, that's good. You know, the roads are crumbling. The bridges are crumbling. We see it every day. We drive the roads every day. And then a couple of days ago, we get some more details in this, and I just want to get your take on it. The plan calls for investing $200 billion in federal money over the coming decade. The rest of it would come through state and local municipalities. And to qualify for all this infrastructure, states and localities would have to be willing to raise new revenue for their projects. And White House aides offered several examples, including increasing property taxes, sales taxes, increase in tolls for other fees, user fees and things like that, gasoline tax. So the tax break that we got on the federal level is going to be sucked up by new taxes on state and local levels. Am I pretty much on target there?
Not at all.
Not at all.
I mean, frankly, when are the do you believe the Illinois legislature is going to again raise your income taxes?
Yeah.
32% like they did in the last session?
Yeah.
I don't think they will. If they do, then it's. I think you're going to continue to see a backlash against the legislators who voted for that.
Well, how do you pay for it?
But when you look
then?
At the president's plan, we got to put things into perspective, Scott. Number one, we've got the normal highway trust fund that, through formula dollars, your federal gas taxes go back to the states like Illinois, and they fund about 80% of all of our construction projects that may delay you on the way to where you're going on the interstate around Bloomington. But 80% of it's your federal gas tax dollars now. What this administration's talking about doing is not replacing that, but putting a booster shot of other federal investment in to leverage more investment. If the states want to use their existing revenue streams to match up on projects, it's those projects that are further along, like the underpass in Normal, for example, that are going to already have a plan of action and a planned investment at the local and the state level that they then could jump conceivably to the head of the line. But the last time we had a booster shot like this in infrastructure, it was supposed to be the Obama stimulus bill. And I would argue, Scott, that if President Obama put this out there, people would think this was genius. But unfortunately, what he did and what many Democrats who are complaining about this infrastructure package did just a few years ago, they borrowed $1 trillion, and they only invested about 6% of it in infrastructure. That's $49 billion, $50 billion over 3 years. And that was supposed to solve the backlog of infrastructure problems and boost our economy at the same time. Well, this is four times that of direct investment to go along with existing investment. I think it's a good plan. I think it needs to be discussed. I hope we can add to it by putting a long-term fix to our highway trust fund issues, and then you have stability, stable funding for the states, and the ability to go after larger project dollars, too.
Congressman, I'm a simple man. I don't have to tell you that.
I won't disagree.
I just want to go back, though. To qualify, states and localities would have to be willing to raise new revenue for their projects,
the states,
including property tax increases, sales tax increases.
No,
that's
They're
not true.
They're suggesting ways in case people had an idea of how they could do that. But if states have dollars ready to match, why do you have to go out and raise more revenue? That's the thing that I don't understand from your comments, Scott. Nobody's going to go ask the city of Bloomington to raise their gas tax if you have a project like one in Normal that already has an existing amount of dollars set aside to put toward it. And that's why they applied for a Tiger Grant. That's why they've applied to the federal government, showing they're already willing to make a local investment. This plan is nothing new, nothing more than what already exists, saying you ought to partner. And don't forget, there are many projects in urban areas that can have a return on investment, and private sector dollars can actually be invested in these projects too. And I think that's a good thing, not a bad thing, because what it does is it takes those projects that can have that private investment because of a return on that investment, and it takes them out of the pot of money that communities in rural America are fighting for because they don't have projects that can give a return on investment. And this Trump plan, this infrastructure plan out of the White House, has $50 billion set aside for rural America. Hey, I know you live in more of the city area, Scott, but there's a lot of areas outside that would love to have a bite of the $50 billion apple to help fund some of their long-term infrastructure needs.
Absolutely. So to go back, though, to clarify, so you're saying that Bloomington Normal, for example, already qualify because we charge, I mean, they just jacked up the gasoline tax a year or so ago.
And by they're not saying go get new revenue sources to qualify. They're saying show us you got money.
But we don't.
Show us you've got money set aside.
Does the state of Illinois have money set aside?
The state of Illinois gets their federal gas tax dollars, and I would hope that the state would match those and not lose them. But I've learned that we've got great legislators there like Dan Brady who are fighting to have a long-term infrastructure bill, fighting to make sure we don't have long-term financial needs that go unmet. But you know what? The state's going to have to do a better job, and frankly, with an infrastructure bill like this, hopefully it forces them into it.
All right. And again, explain to me how private sector is going to be willing to help out.
Oh, you've got asset recycling. What that is you can go up to O'Hare Airport or Midway. There are private sector dollars willing to lease those properties out from the city, and you then get a better airport. Most airports in this world, on this globe, are actually public-private partnerships. So you get infrastructure investment, and those dollars are then taken back and reinvested into infrastructure. That's the leveraging point. Not every road in a major city has to be done. Not every project, infrastructure project, has to be done with complete federal dollars. And frankly, Scott, they're not done with complete federal dollars now. And any legislator, any politician who actually alludes to the fact that they are, is not telling the truth.
Yet our roads are crumbling.
And
it's the biggest complaint.
This administration is trying to do something about it. The last administration talked about it and invested 6% in a trillion dollar borrowing package. 6%, $49 billion. And you would have thought with all the signs for the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, the stimulus bill all around, this project was funded by ERA, you would have thought that this was the next great Eisenhower investment in the interstate system. It was smoke and mirrors, and it was a bill that grew government. And what offends me is you got four times the investment in the infrastructure only, and you got some of the same people who were out there touting the Obama stimulus bill as an economic stimulus and a savior to our economy, now standing up saying it's not enough that the Trump administration actually proposed. And that's just wrong.
They're saying it's not enough. They want they were looking at like $1 trillion in direct federal spending.
Nobody has ever said there's going to be $1 trillion in direct federal spending. And anybody who said that the administration has promised that.
Oh, no, I don't know what anybody's said that. I think that's just what they were hoping for.
So it was just you?
No, Democrats. Democrats, because they bought, you know, during the election cycle, both sides were saying infrastructure. And now that we're getting close to it and they're starting to talk about it, it's like, do you see it happening? Bipartisan?
I think if we can, and this is my push, if we can figure out a way to have a long-term fix to the Highway Trust Fund, diversify it, because frankly, the federal gas tax dollars that people pay are going down, and that's the source for federal matches on projects now that go into our state so that they can implement the IDOT 5-year plan. And if we don't have a long-term fix, because at the same time we have federal gas tax dollars coming to our states, the federal government's telling manufacturers to manufacture engines that burn less of it. It's on a downward trend. Even if we raise the gas tax, like some people are clamoring for, and many of the Democrat colleagues I serve with say, well, let's raise it a quarter. Well, if you raise the gas tax and at the same time tell manufacturers to manufacture engines that burn less of it, your revenue stream continues to go down. Now, electric vehicles pay nothing into the Highway Trust Fund. We've got to diversify and bring them into the mix. There are some innovative approaches and innovative ways to make the Highway Trust Fund less volatile, less dependent upon the price of oil, and more ready to address any volatility based upon the future of what our roadways will look like. Don't you and I agree that over the next 5 years, we're going to see a substantial increase in electric vehicles? We've got to be able to make sure that if they're part of our infrastructure, if they're part of our infrastructure using it, then they're going to have to help us find a solution to the solvency of the trust fund.
So what would you propose for our electric cars? I know some people have talked about mileage meters, basically.
You know, one of the biggest problems with the VMT, I think that's what you're talking about, Scott, is that I think it unfairly punishes people in rural areas who have no other option but to drive. Remember, most of the federal dollars go into our urban areas where they have access to transit, they have access to bike paths, they have access to many modes of transportation that a single mother can take to work. Well, a single mother in my hometown of Taylorville may have to drive 30 miles to get to work, and she then will be unfairly subsidizing many of the urban areas who that single mom can drive 3 miles to work, may take as long as a half hour, but there's a distinct unfairness to the VMT, in my opinion.
Yeah, I get that.
I would like to see us diversify. I would like to see us talk about ideas about how do you get the batteries that go into electric vehicles and maybe get a revenue source off of them before they go into the vehicle, because more electric vehicles are going to be on our roadways, and they're going to have to figure out a way to pay for the infrastructure needs.
So
that's okay. You know, let's talk about these things. Let's debate these things instead of just sticking our head in the sand and offering solutions that are downward spirals.
So you're talking about taxing, putting a tax on the batteries?
I'm open to any discussion that we can have that will talk about the long-term solvency of the trust fund. The American Road and Transportation Builders Association, I'd urge everybody, go take a look at it. It's a great way to start the debate. They've put together a diversified portfolio. Go in and look on their website called the BOLD Act. It's a great starting point for the debate of how we fix this, and I hope this debate happens in the midst of us talking about this long-term infrastructure bill. And if it does, and Democrats then don't vote for it, then you know they're just playing politics with this bill rather than actually finding the long-term solutions that they always talk about in my committee hearings and always talk about when infrastructure is brought up. And then we can then call their bluff on whether or not they really want to invest in infrastructure.
We shall see. What kind of time frame are you talking here? I mean, this is all these, by the way, are just outlines. Basically, Congress decides how this is all going to be done. What kind of time frame are we talking here?
Well, the administration would like to see it yesterday. So I think this is our opportunity to have an open and honest debate of what the future of our infrastructure program looks like in this country. And I'm glad the president and the White House have really put this up as a top priority.
President said he's open to new sources of funding to cover some of this, such as raising the federal gas tax. What's your thought on that?
Well, I mentioned earlier, it's a downward spiral.
All right.
You want to just raise the gas tax, you can raise it whatever you want to raise it. And at the same time, car manufacturers are forced by the federal government to go manufacture engines that burn less gas. So you can raise that revenue and at the same time still have a downward spiral of the long-term solvency of that trust fund. Now, the president of France, Emmanuel Macron, he said in the next 20 years he doesn't want a single gas-powered vehicle on the lot or on the roadways in France. Let's say he's half right. What happens to the roadways that we see in Bloomington Normal? You're going to see a substantial increase in electric vehicles. All you got to do is look at Rivian. Their long-term future is in electric vehicles. If you just raise the gas tax for the long-term revenue, how are you going to continue to keep that solvent when more cars on the road are going to not burn gas?
I get it.
That's why you got to think about diversification. Scott, you got a 401k, right?
It's a 202. But yeah,
you got a retirement,
right?
So, do you invest it in one stock?
No, I am very diversified.
Why don't we diversify? Why don't we do that with the trust fund? Because right now, the highway trust fund is invested in one fuel source, the gas tax. We ought to diversify, make it less volatile, make it more responsive to our roadways and what type of vehicles are on our roadways.
I totally get
that. That's what that BOLD Act opens the debate to do, and I hope that people can take a look at it. And that's what we're going to talk about with the administration. Talk about diversification. It doesn't always have to be raising taxes on gasoline.
It makes sense to me. What would be the argument against it? I'm just trying to think on down the road. What would the argument against that be? It makes perfect sense.
It baffles you. It baffles me other than the good old adage, well, it's always been the gas tax. Well, no. Now's the time to change because not everybody's burning gas.
Right, right. Okay. And by the way, you mispronounced the French. It's Macron. You have to say it that way. So next time you drop that name, Macron, all right?
I apologize, Monsieur, Monsieur Lachlan.
All right, let me see, because you're not involved in the primary coming up here in about 30-some days.
Awesome.
But there's an election coming up that you will be involved with. Let me ask you, are you a little disturbed about this latest news? You've got intel chiefs saying Russia, they know Russia is going to interfere in the midterm elections. Yet, the White House has said nothing about it. There's nothing in the works to prevent or to stop this from happening.
Okay, so if the Director of National Intelligence, Senator Coates, Director Coates said that he feels Russia is going to interfere, the White House is not going to direct that response. It's going to be our intelligence agencies that are going to direct that response. Our military agencies are going to direct that response. So the fact that the Director of National Intelligence is aware of it, I'm much more confident than whether I heard it from some political appointee sitting at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
So you're not concerned? I mean, the president didn't bring it up in the State of the Union address. He's never really mentioned it.
And
he's not even tweeted about it.
Let's look at the facts, Scott. Look back to the last election. The Russia's been accused of meddling. What did they do? Did they go in and did they hack the McLean County voter rolls and get into the McLean County Diebold electric voting systems? No, that's not the case. What they're alleged of doing, and I think it's wrong, and people have to be aware, is buying Facebook ads and trying to get engaged in with Twitter bots. We have to be aware, and Americans have to be aware, that just because you see something on social media doesn't mean it's true.
Wow. Now you're asking
our
those same people you talk about take as gospel sound bites they hear on political ads.
Trust me, I know.
Yeah.
I've been on the other side of those. And that's why you have to be critical. Have to go in and look more than the 30-second ad that many campaigns, including mine, run. But you have to be more of a critical thinker when going in to vote for any individual, and don't just take what you see on social media or on TV or on the radio as fact. Go in and learn more about every candidate. I like the fact that people can delve in and get engaged in the political process and learn more about what I'm doing out here. But we have to be prepared. We have to make sure we have the best cybersecurity measures so that in the future, if Russia decided to do a cyber attack on our voting systems, it would, number one, be very difficult because all of our voting systems are at the county level here in this country. It's not at the state level. They're not at the federal level. It's at the county. And there are a lot of counties. I've got 14 counties in my district. We have to make sure that each county is well aware of the risks. They have to be ready. But I'm also not convinced that there can be a nationwide hack attempt on all of our electoral systems because they're not run by the nation.
Well, some are suggesting going back to paper ballots.
Many counties do. I get the choice in Christian County. I can go paper, I can go electric, or I can go on the computer, either one. But I trust our local officials to... I trust our local officials like Kathy at the McLean County Clerk's Office. I trust that they're going to do the best job to make sure that they have the most fair election process in that county as possible.
Okay.
I don't see a single county that I'm concerned about not having a fair election process, or if there are abnormalities because of a foreign nation intervening, that they wouldn't see that.
Congressman, we're out of time. I either need a bell or I need Eric Stock to whack me in the back of the head with a piece of lumber. I am so far behind. Appreciate the time you spent with us this morning. We'll do it again. Didn't even have time to trash talk you. Your Milliken, your Big Blue, taking on the Titans tonight down in Decatur. We'll do
that. Go Big Blue.
All right. Good, Congressman. Talk to you. We'll do it again.
See ya.